News Radio 610 WTVN. For the defense, the only live legal show of its kind in Columbus. The Coffell Law Firm, one of Ohio's leading criminal defense firms. Your host of For the Defense, Columbus attorney Brad Coffell.
Back live again, September 12, 2021, 11:06 a.m. I am watching Meet the Press on here in the studio, and Chuck Todd has a panel talking about vaccine mandates. National Public Radio poll, support for workplace mandates, about 50%. National Public Radio, NPR. General, a lot happened last week in America, and good morning, by the way.
Good morning to you, sir.
First of all, I had a absolutely wonderful day, and I hope all of you did as well. It was a splendid day in Columbus, Ohio yesterday for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. For a minute, I took my dog out for a jog yesterday morning before the games. I knew I was going to be sitting in a chair at the stadium for 3.5 to 4 hours. And out with my dog, I'm taking the jog. It's a nice little morning. And I'm thinking, should I change our voicemail for all our new clients to basically say, we'll catch you on Monday. If you get arrested today, sorry, we're not helping you. I wanted to have my own little mini holiday, and that we're just not going to call anybody back, because we get calls on the weekends, right?
Well, yeah.
And it was the 20th anniversary. It just felt like the right thing to do. But I didn't do it. I'm not, you know, but I felt.
Because you're a consummate professional.
Well, they don't close the emergency rooms on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. There's just some things that just couldn't do. But the thought went through my mind. I was absolutely stoked to know that we were going to have a flyover yesterday. A very dear friend of mine was an Air Force pilot. A very good friend of mine's brother was an Air Force pilot, and we lost him in the Sea of Japan in a training accident a number of years ago. Huge supporter of the military. I'm a huge supporter, as are you, and I think most of our listeners. We support the military. We support the police, fire. At the OSU game, I knew there was going to be a flyover, and I'm not sure how well publicized that was. I'm not sure where I heard this, but I didn't know it was going to be that.
The big black boomerang.
Oh, my gosh. Was that? I've never seen a stealth bomber in real life.
That's the idea.
Was the word that came to mind, like my heart just jumped up 10 beats a minute. That is the word that came to mind was wicked. That was just American might and wicked. And I just.
You should see it when they drop things out of it.
I was there. I was at the game too. It was a magnificent spectacle. That's the second time I've gotten to see a stealth bomber up close. But the flyover itself was breathtaking.
Oh.
And the halftime performance by the Ohio State Marching Band
so cool.
would bring you to tears. I had chills on the back of my
absolutely.
Neck. It was unreal.
And I don't, you know, the absolutely, that band is part of Buckeye Nation. And hats off to you, OSU band, the directors, everyone who, I don't, they have to use some sort of computer program to figure out how to make everyone move around to reshape and shape and be shapeshifters. And
lesson one, you are a pixel.
And I was there with my wife, our daughters, and it was fantastic. It was a great day. But I thought Andy Gunther?
Yes, I think it's Gunther. I think it's Gunther.
I thought Andy found I thought he took some power that he doesn't have in the Columbus Charter to order this mask mandate for the city of Columbus. I didn't see that yesterday. So Andy, so I had to do some research on Andy's power grab, and I called our city attorney Zach Klein, who I appreciate, I respect as an elected official, gets back to me. I'm going to respect you if you get back to me, and I appreciate that. I don't have to necessarily agree with you, but he's the mayor's lawyer, right? And so when Genther came out with this mask order. I texted Zach and I said, hey, call me when you get a chance. He called me back. I said, does the mayor even have any power to do this? And he said, it's in the charter.
Under tyranny.
So I'm like, I don't even know where to find the Columbus Charter. I'm in Indianapolis. I'm with some buddies. We're gonna do this racing experience at Indy Motor Speedway Thursday morning. And it's a Wednesday before we go out to dinner. I'm online trying to find the Columbus City Charter. And it basically says, we are the people of Columbus and we hereby form this city. Okay, I didn't see it. So I dig down some more and there is a provision where the mayor can declare an emergency. He can declare a state of emergency. And inside the state of emergency, provisions are enumerated. Flood, blizzard, riot. Sound familiar?
Things that don't last very long.
That also substantially impact city functions. Okay. So it can't just be whatever he wants it to be. So I sent a text back to Zach. I said, is your mayor declaring a city emergency, a state of emergency? Yes. So that was Friday. Did you see a state of emergency like a blizzard, flood, locust?
Actually, I did with regard to Ohio State's defensive line.
True. We'll have to talk about that. There is a state of emergency. And I'm just wondering how long Kerry Combs is going to last and out Washington. But this isn't the sports show.
We'd had your son here if it was.
So there is there is this disconnect between the people that are the handful of people that are in power and then the rest of the city, the rest of the state. You go to that Ohio State game, no one was wearing masks. You'll see a few people walking around inside.
Was Gunther there?
I don't know if Andy. I think he golfs on Saturdays.
I wonder if he wears a mask when he does that.
No.
So do his golf clubs wear masks?
It's this disconnect between the ruling class, whether at a small local level or a school board level. And by the way, I've got a buddy of mine coming on who's running for UA school board. We recruited Lou Sauter and another good American conservative in Upper Arlington run. Because we are tired of suing our district, we now need to bring in our own people to take control of the levers. So Lou's going to be on here in about 15, 18 minutes. I would like to raise even a $10 donation to a couple of these school board candidates. Anybody would like to donate, we'll talk a little bit about that, but try to get some like-minded folks back in the school board.
So Lou Sauter is running against Lucifer?
So, meanwhile, I thought the city was bad enough with the Department of Justice accepting Andy Genther's request for an investigation of Columbus Police Department. So I mentioned this to my wife, Michelle, and she pays attention. She has to by being married to me. And she says, when is that guy done? I mean, when is he done being mayor? And I think he's... When is his election?
It's not soon enough.
There is that. More shootings and robberies. Shock. Why even take up valuable campy? Why do we even put this on valuable news? It's like saying there's a car accident on the South End. At this point in time, it's just a given, right? There's going to be shootings on campus. There's going to be shootings in the Short North.
Hey, I'm doing my best. We continue to be in touch with the Columbus Police Department and Ohio State Campus Police and all that. So all I know is that it's a shame that happened yesterday, but it's happening far too often.
Yeah, we were going to go out last night for my wife's birthday dinner with some other couples, and we originally wanted to go out to Easton and catch a restaurant there, but that's been dismissed. That was dismissed a long time ago. Then we thought the Short North. And then that's not going to fly. I was at Easton a few weeks ago, General. I don't know if I told you this, but we're at Smith and Walensky, it was about 5:30.
You're robbed by the waiter.
Well, at Smith and Walensky, that's consent. I consent to being robbed. And we just missed a shooting by a couple guys in front of the Louis Vuitton store, and some friends that were already there had to take cover. Everyone ran back in the kitchen at Smith and Walensky. I mean, this is real stuff. We're having friends, kids get robbed, students are getting robbed down there. But
that's why they call him Gunther.
It's a good thing that Gunther has the Department of Justice investigating Columbus Police Department. It's clearly it's the Columbus Police Department that's causing all the crime in the city.
All those off-duty
cops. After the break, the title of the show is Silence of the Lambs. Stick around for that. Brad Koffel, The General, 610 WTVN. I'm Brad Koffel. I'm a lawyer, have been for about 28, 29 years, practicing criminal defense in Ohio for, well, the same amount of time. Monday through Friday, the General and I are in courts of Greater Central Ohio. Actually, we go all over Ohio, don't we, General?
We do.
So we have a lot happening in America, a lot of things popping, and we only have a small amount of time here once a week. Masks are back in school. Vaccines are federally mandated for 100 million Americans. You know, weaponizing OSHA the way they're doing to do the end around the Constitution. How many really good laborers, skilled, unskilled, smart knowledge workers are we going to lose? How many people are just going to opt out of their job because they don't want to take the vaccine? And our children are next. What are you going to do when your kid has to take this vaccine to go to school?
Homeschool.
That's coming next. I promise you that it's coming next. France is going bonkers in the streets over their passports. Australia is losing its mind over COVID. I mean, you talk about a government that is out of control. Speaking of people out of control, Gavin Newsom recall on Tuesday. I think that is huge, General. If Gavin Newsom gets recalled, it'll be the second time ever. And California's tried 55 times to recall governors. They recalled one other person, and they put Arnold Schwarzenegger in.
Well, you know, Rose McGowan, the actress, just came out and said that Gavin Newsom's wife tried to bribe her into not telling about what happened between her and that Harvey Weinstein guy. It was a big bombshell out in California.
We have replacement migration happening in America. Okay, if you don't know what replacement migration is, you can go to the United Nations website. It's their idea, and it is here in the United States. It's been happening in Europe for a while. You can look in France. Again, go back to France. Fastest growing population, Muslim. Fastest growing religion, Islam. England is right behind. United States, look again in 10 years. We are losing more than we're winning. And it starts with our kids, the next generation. And that's why we've got to have guys like Lou Sauter, who's going to join us here in a little bit, who's running for our Burlington School Board, and other conservatives that are running for school board in our suburbs. We have to get our kids in the game. That's where we are. That is where we are. We have become the silence of the lambs. We are the lambs. And I think with this federal vaccine mandate, I need to take a minute and to kind of I had to think through how I got here. And I wanted to know if this echoes and resonates with you guys. My personal thought process on COVID, masks, and vaccines, first of all, I have no interest or motive to be on one side or other of these issues. I'm not in pharma, I'm not in politics, I'm not being paid by anybody. So like all you guys, we don't have an interest or motive to be on one side of the issue or the other. We want to live, we want our family to live, and we want to do what we need to do to protect America. So when COVID hit the U.S. shores, pulling up the drawbridge made total sense. Everyone inside until we figure this out. I think all of us were cool with that. Maybe some fringe elements were not. But
when we didn't know anything about it, you know.
Flatten the curve, keep the strain off the hospital system. That was the social contract we made with our government. And this is an important piece, guys. We agreed to a new social contract for a period of time. We're going to let the government overreach for a minute. After a few months, the data became quite straightforward. This bug was nasty, but we identified three groups of people that it's lethal to: immunocompromised, comorbidities, and the elderly.
It's a boomer sweeper.
We had 50 different ways to deal with this respiratory virus from 50 different state governors. So you started to see some bad messaging.
Well, it was all the president's fault at first.
I started to question the efficacy of the cloth masks for a virus based upon a very early article that I read that cloth masks do little to nothing for a virus. And I don't think that science has changed.
Was that by Fauci?
I then questioned the efficacy of social distancing. They were talking about social distancing in the schools. No, but the kids aren't going to social distance in the schools. So they shut the schools down. So we had to sue up Arlington. Other people got mad that their schools were being shut down. We started to make fun of our government regulations, didn't we? Because their regulations were totally detached from practical reality. So back to the vaccines. This is very important. Michelle and I were on our last day of spring break, 2020. We actually decided to leave the country as America was shutting down. And I it was a big debate, but we decided to go. I'm glad we went. On our last day, I read a tweet that there was a vaccine that they believe would protect us. And I distinctly were telling, I remember telling Michelle, once we get this vaccine, it'll all be over. This will be over. We're cool. We'll just wait for the vaccine. But this is where things start to get fractious. If we're going to follow the science, then we need to quarantine those who test positive. If we're going to follow the science, we need to put a black box public health advisory to the high-risk people that we now know are at risk. And let the healthy population make our own cost-benefit analysis of going to work, going to football games, social activities. That's where this train came off the rails. And then I also became curious about something I'd never researched before, which is herd immunity. We've dealt with viruses. Man has dealt with viruses since the beginning. And herd immunity has always been the answer. So by any objective standard, herd immunity is the gold standard to fight viruses. So I became an advocate for herd immunity and argued we're all going to get it eventually. It'll go away. Like any other disease, there will be casualties. That's tragic. They are inevitable. But you don't forfeit freedom and wreck your country over this. And that's where a lot of us started to split. Now, again, I was still waiting for the vaccine that was in the pipeline that would accelerate us getting towards herd immunity. At the same time, I, and probably many of you, didn't want the novel coronavirus. I was not afraid of it either. I felt as though my wife, my kids, and I, and many of you, we have strong enough immune systems to protect us. That's why we have this system built into us. Now, I will first want to admit, I was reckless. I could have been more cautious, and yes, I got it. I got it about 8 months ago. It sucked, but I would rather go through that again than have the flu. I found the flu to be horrible. I did have long-haul symptoms and lost my taste of sense, taste of smell. That lasted for quite a while. But I still didn't understand the fixation with controlling America because of this respiratory virus. And then I wasn't even looking for this, but I heard a podcast about gain-of-function research. And now I find out how much of America doesn't know what gain-of-function research is. To me, this is literally the most important topic out of all the topics. When I ask smart, educated, well-read citizens if they know what gain-of-function is and they've never heard of it, my head explodes. That's what we not need to be talking about. We're being treated like sheep, and we are just silent like lambs. There's just much, much more to all of this that we're simply not being told. That's how I feel about things. The existential problem is not COVID-19, not the virus itself. But it's our way of half our country, the way we're just allowing the decimation of civil liberties to occur. The goalposts continue to move on us. Now we have 100 million Americans that are going to be forced to take a paycheck or a vaccine. So anyway, we're going to bring Lou Sauter on here after the break. We're going to pick up how you can do it. And I want to introduce you to Lou. Great guy. After the break, Brad Koffel, 610 WTVN.
News Radio 610 WTVN. For the defense, the only live legal show of its kind in Columbus, the Koffel Law Firm, one of Ohio's leading criminal defense firms. Your host of For the Defense, Columbus attorney Brad Koffel.
Before we get to Lou Sauter, who's running for Upper Arlington School Board, I want to follow up on that last segment. Again, talking about vaccines, I ask anyone and everyone to do your own research. Consult with your own doctors. Make your own private decision on whether or not it makes sense for you to get one of the vaccines. And then also, I think everyone needs to pay attention or do some research on what's called a leaky vaccine, Do some due diligence on this. We'll talk about this in the future. And unlike smallpox and measles and polio vaccines that actually immunize you, none of the COVID vaccines currently actually immunize you. It's not a perfect vaccine. And from what I understand, these current vaccines could actually boomerang and come back to haunt you in the haunt us in the future as it struggles to survive and continues to beat these imperfect vaccine. And I do want to get a virologist or an epidemiologist on the show to either endorse this phenomenon as being a legitimate scientific concern or dispute it. But this is where I am currently on my hesitancy with the vaccine, is that we could open a Pandora's box, inadvertently creating a superbug that is impervious to anything. That's where I am on my research. But I think everyone needs to do their own research. All right. Now, we've been banging on the drum for years that these days were coming, and now they're here. We've watched the government overreach to the extent now that we have 100 million Americans that are under a federal tyrannical edict from a president, and that he clearly doesn't have this type of power to do this. And aside from the why, we can't really fight except at our local level. And so we recruited, a group of us in our Burlington recruited. We looked for some really good people that we think would be great on school board, and really trying to find someone that would agree to step forward. And the first person to step forward is not any surprise to anybody that knows them. Marine, not a former Marine, a Marine, always a Marine, right? And yep. A Buckeye through and through. Immigrant, son of immigrants. The classic American story, and owner of Buckeye Donuts, which is also a benefit, and an overall awesome, awesome American, Lou Sauter. Lou, tell everyone, why did you decide to jump into the local politics of running for school board?
Well, first off, thank you very much for having me here. A lot of times people insinuate a lot of things when you put yourself out there, and this is a great opportunity to tell the exact story. Running for school board was not in my on my calendar. Last year during COVID, I don't know if I know you know, but I coach wrestling at the high school. I also coach softball. I'm around a lot of kids, and I found that people's experience with COVID really kind of depended on their experience with COVID. So how they reacted to it was much different. So a lot of my doctors and nurses friends who were dealing with the sick people on a regular basis, that experience changed how they felt
very
about
well
COVID. And my experience with COVID was dealing with more with children. And when I saw what was happening with the kids and saw the mental harm we were doing, not having them in school, I decided to put myself out there. In particular, my son on a personal level was really struggling. He was just trying to, he has ADHD, was trying to up his medication over and over and over again because he couldn't function.
Studying at home
mm-hmm. by himself in the basement. And he had dropped 20 pounds from September to through October. I remember him coming down the steps and at the end of October, and mindlessly just walking down the basement. And I looked at my wife and I said, I got to do something. Now, I was doing stuff prior to that. I had been meeting with all the board members. I'd met with the superintendent multiple times.
You were doing it the right way.
I was talking at school board meetings.
Signing up for your 3 minutes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking at school. You know, I noticed, we weren't paying attention to the school board. Not anybody really was.
Right.
And all of a sudden, COVID kind of shined a light. That's been one of the benefits. COVID shined a light on open people's eyes to small government, and people started paying attention. Well, I can recall in September saying at a board meeting, I wish I was at the table. The I wish I was at the table with you. There is no diverse opinion here. Right. Everybody on this board, there's five of you, that you're all the same people. And here we go. Fast forward to November.
We're talking to Lou Sauter, by the way, if you're just joining us. Lou Sauter is running for Upper Arlington School Board, and he is about apolitical, unpolitician, as you'll find. And we need more and more. There are a lot more Lou Sauters out there. But go ahead, Lou. Finish your story.
Yeah. So we, in wrestling in particular, we were dealing with a lot of mental issues with kids. Kids were breaking down in practice, and I would have to take a kid downstairs in the locker room and just talk to them. They were just, we were dealing with this on a regular basis, and so I told my wife, after exhausting everything else, I said, I'm just going to go sit out in front of Paul Imhoff's office.
That's our superintendent.
Yeah, and she's like, well, for how long? I'm like, well, for the whole school day. And she said, well, how long are you going to do this? And I'm like, well, until they let the kids back in school.
Full time, yeah.
And
But meanwhile.
Threatened to withhold donuts.
You are up at what time every morning?
So I usually get up between 4 and 5. During that time, this really went on a lot longer than I had imagined. I needed to be there by 9 a.m. So I'd get up at 3 o'clock so I could get into work, get my work done, and get out there. And my employees were awesome. They were totally supportive. They made sure that they got their stuff done so I can get out there.
Now, and I'll share for the rest of you that are listening, Lou actually eventually made some local news because Lou would walk nonstop from the first school bell to the last school bell every day, all weather, and would put in, how many miles were you putting in every day? In circles outside the superintendent's office.
So it was a 46-step walk that I logged 16 to 17 and a half miles per day.
In 46 steps.
Yeah, and 46 steps one way, turn around, 46. And really didn't start that way. You know, the first day I sat out there in a chair, and I was really bored. And so I started walking. I was like, well, I'll just get some steps in while I'm out here. And then
you found out how many people were behind you.
Yeah.
And people were bringing out coffee and bringing out lunch and soups, and it was great. I mean, you were very, very inspirational, Lou. Let's fast forward. You and your wife decide that you're going to run for Upper Arlington School Board. Talk about your first fundraiser at Carsoni's on Lane Avenue.
Well, just like everything, it organically evolved, and we decided in late June that we were going to run for. I was going to run for school. My wife was totally against it. I remember saying to her that I publicly said at a school board meeting for everybody to hear that I wish I was at the table with you, and it would be very uncharacteristic of me not to take advantage of the opportunity to be at the table. There's two seats up, and so I need to put myself out there. These are difficult decisions. I said I wanted to be there, so I needed to jump in. And so in 5 days, we threw together a fundraiser at Carsoni's on Lane Avenue. Great, great place. It was a great fundraiser.
How many people showed up?
Well, about 200 people.
For a school board.
Yeah.
I told, and I've been talking more and more to some of our U.S. Senate candidates, and I tell them that story, and they're like, holy cow. These Senate candidates don't have that many people showing up for anything right now.
Well, I was very active in our community for a long time. And I was not a person that just...
Well, you grew up in UA.
That's right.
And you come, like I said, you come from a family, Greek parents that literally came over on boats alone, didn't they, as children?
That's correct, yeah. So, and it was difficult growing up in Upper Arlington. I mean, right now there's Greeks everywhere in Upper Arlington, which we could talk about another day, but... When I moved in there, there wasn't a lot of I believe there was one other Greek family that was living in Upper Arlington.
Lou, there's a Greek word. We don't have an English translation, philotimo.
Yeah.
Tell the listeners what philotimo is.
Well, so you can't define it. It's an action, right? It's about doing what's right. It's a verb, and it guides Greeks and a lot of Greeks out there and everything they do.
Where could our listeners, you don't have to live in Upper Arlington to donate to Upper Arlington, but we can change the tide one district at a time, and when we've made Upper Arlington ground zero, if someone's listening would like to give 10, 50, 100 bucks or more to Lou Sauter's campaign, where would they do that?
They would go to LouSauter4UA.com. It's LouSaut, T as in Tom, E-R, for F-O-R-U-A.com.
LouSauter4UA.com. Lou, thank you. We are up against a break. Thank you. And we are going to have a future school board show. We're going to get some other suburbs on later this month. After the break, a little closing argument. Brad Koffel, Eric Willison, 610 WTVN. Lou Sauter for UA.com. We were talking at the break, and Lou brought up a good point. He goes, look, you know, I know you did your vaccine show a few weeks ago, and you threw a big old question mark over vaccines, and this show is not anti-vax. I've never questioned the flu vaccine. I've never questioned the measles, mumps. All the injection, the vaccines we give our kids.
We're pro-choice.
The problem, I think, is the vaccine hesitancy. There are some rational reasons to not necessarily say no, hesitate, meaning do your own research, consult with your doctor, and talk to doctors and nurses that are on the front lines. What are they saying? And here's what Lou told me. He's got a very good friend who is in pediatrics who said that just 3 weeks ago, before the schools opened, they weren't seeing any kid COVID cases. And now he said they are blowing the doors off with kid COVID cases. That pediatric cases of COVID are skyrocketing, and doctors are encouraging families to have a conversation with your child's pediatrician about whether or not to go ahead and get your child vaccinated. If you have vaccine hesitancy, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why. If it's political, set that aside. If it's religious, is it a sincerely held religious belief? Why? If it's science-based, if your concern is, look, I'm of the mindset that our immune system's strong enough, and I would rather have COVID get it and have the best form of immunity moving forward than take a vaccine that there are insufficient human trials. That's rational. I've got daughters that are 16. My wife and I currently are a no on the vaccines because we don't know what it's going to do to these young ladies, these moms down the road. Maybe that's tenuous. Maybe that's anecdotal. Maybe that's fear mongering by the far right. I don't know, but it's in our minds. My wife got vaccinated. I have not because I had COVID. Now we've got our 19-year-old son out in Missouri going to college, and we talked to him about it. And right now he says, no, I'll take COVID if I've got it, if I've got to get it. Now, I don't know if the new variants that are out there are much more harmful to kids than the first round. And if that turns out the case, then maybe we take the vaccine not for perfect immunity, but to moderate the symptoms, to make sure that our kids have enough booster energy to get through so they're not on a freaking ventilator. If our pediatrician says, I think you should strongly consider getting the vaccine for your son or your daughters, then we probably would do that. But these are very, very big conversations that unfortunately are being lost because Joe Biden is whispering like a tyrant to get the vaccine. It's being mismanaged. The messaging is horrible. But what's being swallowed up is apparently an alarming spike in kid COVID cases with kids in ventilators. And that we cannot ignore. That we cannot ignore. Pivoting real quick, coming up this week, California recall. General Gavin Newsom, is he going to be the second governor in California history to be recalled?
Depends upon how well they can fortify the election out there. I think he's a dead man walking.
I think
and
it's gonna
quite
be a,
right, too.
I think it's going to be a very close call. Gray Davis got removed in 2003, and I forget why. What I don't know what I forget what the recall was on Gray Davis.
I think his name was very bland.
But you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger got in on a recall election. All right. So did some research, figure out, try to do some predicting on why I think California is a microcosm of the United States of America as a whole. It's the largest state economy in the nation. So the United States being the largest economy in the world. Ton of wealth out in California. And throughout we have Silicon Valley giants out there that are making trillions of dollars. Yet California residents make up 1/3 of the welfare recipients in the United States. Okay, the income inequality, wealth inequality, and this is the liberal left.
This is the bluest of the blue states.
The bluest of the blue states, and they have 1/10 of the nation's population and 1/3 of the welfare recipients. That sounds like poor governance to me. Now, let me give an example from my world as a criminal defense lawyer. Prison population. It costs per person in California $81,000 per person to incarcerate a California inmate. So if you actually take the total industrial cost of the Department of Corrections in California divided by the number of California residents, it's $81,000 per person, not per inmate, per person. Now, the state median income is $75,000. So you're already broke, California, just because you are spending more to incarcerate than your households are making. All right, so we have a crisis of incompetence in delivering basic government services in California and in the rest of the country. And
I think not in the red states.
California's recall could be a recall on the new left. Big day, Tuesday. We'll see what happens in America this week, and we will talk about it next Sunday. Again, Lou Sauter for UA.com. Support your local suburban candidates for school board.